This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. For this edition, we are so pleased to be able to talk about the somewhat neglected topic of abortion and how it affects men. Our mission here is preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And research has indicated that the person who's most influential in a woman's abortion decision is the father of that child. I don't think most men understand that. I think our society certainly doesn't say that he should have that place of influence. In fact, I've heard feminists say, you know, men should not have any opinion at all, shouldn't voice an opinion, whether publicly or even within the relationship. But that's not really the way that it plays out. It's not the way that the human heart works, because abortion is an issue of the heart, and it's a spiritual issue as well. So we're going to talk about it from those aspects on this episode, and I'm really pleased to be able to welcome to the broadcast Zach McClellan. Zach is a technical recruiter and an aspiring novelist, and he's also someone who was involved in a short film that was released in 2011 called A Faucet Drips. And we want to start there, Zach, in our conversation about men and abortion. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for having me on.
So I taught media ministry at University of Northwestern, and it's also my alma mater. And so I was really excited when I got the news that this film had been released by the student production group there. Laura Hoffman directed A Faucet Drips, and it won first place in its category at the National Religious Broadcasters in 2012. And Zach, maybe you can give us the thumbnail sketch of what the film is about.
Yeah, well, when I initially joined with Lauren and Aaron McGregor, they had put forth that they wanted this to be how pacificity in men in leadership roles plays a very important role in kind of the destruction in abortion. So I guess how it starts is it's just a young couple, you know, low income, and they are, you know, just working, going day to day, and they find out they're pregnant. As many people do at that age, I'm kind of in that stage right now, is they panic a little bit when they kind of look at the finances, the plans they have, how they're going to have to modify that. And essentially they have discussions on what they should do, and abortion is brought up. You know, they want to terminate the pregnancy. And in the subtext, you could say that it's not really what either of them want to do. It's kind of a panicked and scared move, and my character doesn't really take a stance against it or for it. He just basically allows it to happen, and that causes tension in the relationship and the eventual complete dissolve of it. So, yeah, they kind of used abortion to emphasize also that issue of, you know, pacifistic attitudes and leadership roles.
So it's really about abdicating your responsibility, right? I mean,
it is, yes. I mean, it definitely, abortion is definitely the major theme, and it's, you know, the film definitely takes a stance on that. But it's also, you know, like you were saying, from the male perspective, and how, as the spiritual leader in the house, how if that is not, if that role is not being performed, you know, to the utmost of its potential, then I guess bad things can happen, to say it simply.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting because, you know, in your age, you're in your 20s now, you're in your launch phase of life, and, you know, what happens, I think, as you said, you know, there's a panic and a desperation that sets in. You look at what will be disrupted. You don't look at, you know, what might be gained, right? And I'm a person who was involved in that choice when I was 23. And I think you said it really well, Zach, that it just happened. You know, for somebody who's never experienced it, to think that abortion could just happen, it's like, really, how that can't be right. But that's what, it's an apt description of what occurs, that when there's a passive response to it, abortion presents itself as problem solving, and so we let it happen rather than choosing it. I think, I don't know, I think that's kind of what you were getting at in the way that you described it.
Honestly, I think you kind of put it better than I was able to, but that is what I'm getting at. And I think with a lot of areas where, you know, problematic areas, sinful areas, that's how it comes on. I see a lot of it in people I know with their stress coping mechanisms, where it starts as, for example, having a drink after work to, you know, more than they should. You know, just kind of things how it's, I think of that Casting Crowns song, I believe, the slow fade. It's not something that, it's not always as deliberate as people might think.
Mm. And so, you know, and I want to be very respectful, because I think the last thing that the men or women who have participated in abortion need is, you know, a voice of judgment or condemnation coming from the outside. I think our hearts absolutely condemn us after abortion. And I think that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. But I don't think that anyone is helped by us not speaking plainly about the dynamics of what's going on. And it's interesting that abortion stands as an example of the ways in which everyone suffers if men don't lead. And again, that's, you know, I say that as a loving statement. I say that not as a put down of men or not as an indictment of men. You know, everyone suffers when women don't submit to good male godly leadership, right? There's an equation there where nobody's really off the hook. But when we think about men and leadership, tell me how you experienced doing this film and putting yourself in that role, and, you know, wearing that passivity, and experiencing a little bit of what that actually is like in the life of men.
To be fair, I'm kind of a passive person. I've been married coming up on 3 years here, and I know through especially that first year learning to kind of take the reins and make decisions was a hard thing for me to learn, and, you know, I still struggle with it. So playing the role, even back then, came to me fairly naturally, and especially with kind of the proclamations on that movement at the time, was that I didn't have a voice in that. That's kind of what I grew up with, was when it comes to this, who are you to speak? And though I don't believe that, that was kind of the rhetoric put on me. So putting myself in that role, though honestly kind of heartbreaking to do it, came to me more naturally than even I'd like to admit. And I guess, like I was saying before, that pacificity is, it was seeing that as an equal part, like you said, I don't want to use harsh words, but equal part blame in that ordeal. You know, this is a very real story for many people, where sometimes all the woman needs to hear from the man is, you know what, we're going to make it. You know, you're talking about submitting and leading. The big part of leading, as shown by Jesus and expressed in that passage, is that the man lays down his life for his wife and family. And I think if, you know, leadership can be, you know what, I'll get 3 jobs. I've actually worked 3 jobs, and we don't even have any kids. But it's just the willingness to kind of take control of that situation and be, you know what, I will put, you know, I'll put my schedule, I'll put it aside, I'll put my dreams aside, because we're going to do this. We're going to make this right. It's not going to be okay. It's going to be great. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be great. And I think part of, especially today's culture, is that we associate the word hard work with a no fun, or that it's lost its value, because hard work isn't something that is seen as valued anymore. Hard work is something that should be avoided. We're always looking for a quicker, easier way to do things. When, for me, some of the times I've been most proud is when I was confronted with a situation and I, you know, put my head down and just dug and plowed through. And I think there's a big part of that where in marriages and relationships that kind of has helped this pacificity that was being, you know, expressed in this film, is that people aren't as willing to do that hard work anymore, to, you know, to lead, to possibly have a confrontation with their partner and, you know, kind of set their feet in the ground and say, we're going to go this direction. I'm not doing it for me, I'm doing it for us. So I guess kind of circling back to the root of the question, it was a fairly natural role for me to play, and it actually helped me learn more about myself and kind of the current condition of, you know, millennial men my age who are kind of entering that newlywed phase.
You know, and I have to say, there's no profile of a couple that experiences abortion. There are women who are seeking equality with men, who want to have sex with no strings attached, whose hearts would not listen if their partner said, we can do this, we can have this baby. Some of these women won't even disclose the pregnancy to the men, right? Then on the other hand, there are some men who are extremely hard-hearted. This baby's not going to get in the way of my plans. And they even will resort to violence. You know, those are probably the extremes, right? And then there's everyone on the spectrum in between. So I want to be careful to say, you know, if what we're discussing here doesn't line up with your experience, please know that I'm very mindful that every story is different. And I think every abortion represents a separate need of the heart that wasn't met somehow in the woman's life. Some need for social support, some need for leadership from the man in her life, some need for better understanding of the value of human life, some more discipling for her to understand God's love for her. I mean, it's just there's an unmet need at the heart of every abortion. But Zach, as we talk about that, you were a pro-life apologist for Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life, and you've sensed a changing wind in the culture as to where the argumentation is even going on this, and what arguments even work with people anymore. I mean, if we have couples or, you know, young people that probably outside the church, but maybe they're in the church, but not, you know, allowing people in church to know this aspect, you know, but maybe they're operating as friends with benefits. Maybe they're living a very ungodly life, you know, and pregnancy is going to be something that exposes that. Now we have to talk about, you know, how do we possibly reach someone who's been betrayed by the sexual revolution? Because it seems like the arguments from science and logic are, you know, they're great with the opening minds and hearts. But wow, when hearts have already been closed, where do we go?
And that's something that I've kind of noticed, you know, because back when I first started with this, it was, like I said, a pretty purely science-based argument that has now grown into, we don't care about the science as much. My life is more important than a potential life. Or, and that's speaking in generalities, you know, that's kind of a general rhetoric I've heard, where it's just something that many people want accepted, kind of without an argument. So I guess kind of going to the, how do we reach people who've kind of been betrayed by the sexual revolution? How do we talk to people? How do we broach the subject with them? For me, I would say if they're in the church and that happens, there's a definite silver lining to that. You know, if a pregnancy brings that to light, sin is most powerful in the dark. That's where it grows. That's where it eats you. And so if it brings it to light, it can be a blessing in more than one way. first of all, you have a beautiful baby on the way, and secondly, it's giving you a great platform to, you know, condemn that sin and reaffirm yourself in Christ, and, you know, just reach out on hopefully a loving and supporting church family that will help you through that. And then for those not in the church who maybe don't understand it in that way, I think our job is to be, you know, support for them, because a lot of times, from what I've seen, once again, you know, you express there are extreme cases, and every abortion case is different. I think we need to be as supporting of those people as possible. Let them know that they are loved. Let them know that even if, say, it'd be a single mom situation or, you know, a young broke couple, they have people, maybe not even relatives, but people in a church who want to reach out to them, who want to help them, who want to, you know, give their wisdom and resources to help them bring about a healthy, godly child and have a healthy, godly family. I'm a firm believer that we don't get to the heart of people by modifying their behavior. We show them the love of Christ through us. He just uses us as a beacon, and then he does the rest of the work. So for me, I just love how you've been very, you know, we're not here to judge you. We're not here to, you know, kick you when you're down. And I just don't think that's what the church should be to people.
And I think that Zach McClellan is our guest, and he's one of the stars of A Faucet Drips, a short film that was an award winner back in 2012 when it was released. And for my, you know, for my money, this film has, it's just got such a powerful message. It depicts a really powerful reality. It's just a 13-minute film. And very, you know, I mean, it was done as a college production. There, I think, three cast members, right? it's not a huge production. It's a very modest film. But the message is so, so powerful to show, you know, what happens when a man does not step up. And so I want to say, you know, let's talk about some solutions here, because abortion always presents itself as problem solving. This is your solution. You got a big problem. Here's the solution. And again, you know, our culture says it's not a moral issue at all because it's not a child. And so once we've dehumanized the child, then, right, there's, you know, there shouldn't be any anguish over it whatsoever. But, of course, we know that's not what happens. We know that's not how it works. So what are some better solutions? And I came across a great article from Live Action that we'll have linked at cradlemyheart.org about what men can do to go ahead and exert the influence that they do have. You know, as I mentioned at the opening of the interview here, Zach, CareNet did a comprehensive survey about abortion in the church, and one of their findings was that the man is the most influential person. It's not, you know, pressure from a job. It's not parents, even if, you know, the couple isn't married. It isn't peers. It's her partner. Men have a huge influence on this decision. And so Live Action posted an article that had, you know, some tips about how to go ahead and exert that influence. And one thing they said was, you know, men, you should speak up. You can't assume that she knows how you feel. And what was so agonizing watching the character in A Faucet Drips is that, wow, it just seemed like he was just numb from the very beginning. He was maybe in shock, you know, and wasn't able to even connect with his own emotions. I don't know if that's fair to say. I mean, you know better than I the workings of a man's heart and emotions. But why is it so hard for men to speak up, do you think?
I think a lot of it comes to just a lack of maturity, a lack of, you know, being pushed to grow these days, again, speaking generally. There has been, you know, in the specific abortion issue, there has been a large push to make men feel small. But I think a big part of it is with video games, cell phones, TV always around you, people haven't, or young men haven't invested in as much in preparing their minds and hearts for difficult situations. And so when a big thing comes up like this, they shrink. And so, because everything before has been right at their fingertips, but this, it requires more. It's just, I guess I'm kind of stumbling on my words here, but it's just a, it just feels much bigger than they are. That's how, when I was doing the film, that's how I felt. I felt like this situation is bigger than me. It's bit like it's bigger than my character here.
So that's, so seek godly counsel, guys. I mean, if you're feeling mm-hmm. overwhelmed by it, get with some men you trust and ask them to help you through it, right? I mean, I think that's, it's hard to grow up in the middle of a crisis, but wow, that is a much better solution. And knowing how and where to find help and support, that's one of the things that we try to do at Cradle My Heart. So we've got links to the Pregnancy Help Movement so that you can connect in that way. Taking care of yourself as a man in order to be mature and in order to be responsible, I think is something that men often overlook. They maybe don't even consider it. It's not that they, a lot of men, the cliche, I'm not going to the doctor, but your leg is broken. I'll shake it off.
Yep.
Right. but often just the idea of seeking help for yourself and being responsible in that way is just foreign. And so maybe we could give some encouragement as to how best to, take care of yourself spiritually when you're in the midst of a crisis as a guy.
Another good metaphor for that is asking for directions.
Mm-hmm.
I know many of the men in my life, including myself, nowadays, thankfully with GPSs, we don't have to as much, but we're just very hesitant. If we can't find something, we'll just keep looking and kind of digging ourselves deeper into a hole. And I guess when I was growing up, and still am, but you just kind of expect that there's going to be a natural switch from where you turn into a grown up, a dad, a leader of a family. And as I've been married here over the past few years, I just realize how it's not natural. In fact, my sinful nature wants to do very different. A big part of me for my ability to speak and how that's grown is when I'm at home, where am I invested? If me and my wife are sitting on the couch, am I on my phone? Am I going to come home and play video games? Well, she wants to talk to me about her day or whatever. These are a couple of things that I see a lot of men my age doing, just an obsession with video games and themselves and, their releases and their outlets, and just not enough where it really counts. And so I think gradually there's a trust and the reliability that a wife should feel in her husband. It kind of dissolves through that when they refuse to, take those steps to grow up and lead.
Well, and that's a really good word. And I think, coming from you, because I think, as you say, it doesn't come naturally. I think men need other men to show them how to be men. I don't know if that's the best way to say it, but that was some advice that I got as a young married from a pastor when I was talking about a desire to have my husband lead the prayers at mealtime. It was a really small thing that I desired for him for spiritual leadership in our family. And I'm not talking out of school here. He and I have talked about this publicly a lot because it was kind of a watershed thing in our relationship. Mm-hmm. He wasn't comfortable doing it. It's not anything he had grown up with, but it was something I really, really wanted for our family and so on. So I was talking with my pastor and he said, you need to stop, and just pray that that God will provide men around him to show him how to be the man that God intends him to be. Mm-hmm. And you just need to build him up and allow the other men to teach him how to be a man. And mm-hmm. it was great advice. God answered that prayer remarkably. We ended up in a Bible study. And, for young couples or young women facing a partner who is passive, I would say, I will just share that was the very best advice that I ever got. It's still yielding benefits in our marriage today. Because there's only so much that a woman can do to help a man to be a man, mm-hmm. and it doesn't come naturally, and it is something that men need to learn from other men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree. it's not, if you try and find it yourself, it feels very much like poking in the dark. When you have you know, a lot of times older, wiser counsel, it just helps tremendously. You feel like you actually have a kind of model, a real life model in front of you to kind of emulate some of their behaviors. It gives you a much clearer picture of what you should be doing.
Mm. Well, for any young man listening to this, or a woman involved in the life of a young man who needs that help, you know, just the idea of seeking out a godly mentor could be the very best thing that you take away from this conversation. Faucet Drips, it's still available on YouTube. We'll have that linked at cradlemyheart.org, and I hope it would get a very, very wide audience. It's a really timeless piece of work, beautiful piece of art, and I hope that it will do all that God has in mind for it to do in his purposes.
Amen.
Thank you, Zach. Great to talk with you today here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
Great to talk with you, too. Thanks, Kim.
Now, stay with us. Coming up, we'll open the phones for your calls. And here's the number, 1-800-811-3003, here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening, and thank you for being with us here at Cradle My Heart for the live portion of our broadcast tonight. And the phones are open for you at 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. Lots of things to talk about in the news this week. We could go there. But also, I wanted to start with a pro-life resource that we've talked about in the past and one that meant so much to me when I was on the journey back to God's love in my life in recovering after abortion. And that's this little book called Safe in the Arms of God, Truth from Heaven About the Death of a Child. Pastor John MacArthur wrote this as a wonderful exegesis of the scriptures. And we have several copies of it and would love to get one into your hands at 1-800-811-3003. It is a beautiful resource of scripture and of biblical teaching that not only helps us, you know, on the recovery after abortion, but also just to help us with the idea of heaven. For me, there's still so much that I feel I don't know about heaven. Even as I read the scriptures, even as I try to engage with God's word and pray that the Holy Spirit would open the eyes of my heart, open my imagination to see it, I just sometimes really still cannot imagine what heaven is really truly like. But there are so many Bible verses we can look to gain guidance on this, and many of them are found in Safe in the Arms of God by John MacArthur. If you have a question or a comment, you can get a copy tonight at 1-800-811-3003 just for joining the broadcast. And maybe you want to share. In fact, why don't we do that? Share your favorite Bible verse about heaven. Is there one that really sparks your faith and resonates in your spirit as you read something that God's Word says to us about heaven? 1-800-811-3003. I know when my dad passed away and we came to the scriptures that I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house, Jesus' words from John 14, they were so comforting to me to think that my dad had a sure arrival awaiting him and that there was a sure reunion awaiting us. Is there a favorite verse that you have about heaven? Join us and share that with us at 1-800-811-3003, and we'll get you a copy of Safe in the Arms of God by John MacArthur. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. I'm Kim Cotola, your host for Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm very glad that you could join us tonight. We're in the midst, by the way, of doing a board match challenge. And if you'll go to cradlemyheart.org, you can find out how you can support us financially with tax-deductible gifts. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. But we're expanding our short-form radio feature, which tells one person's, one woman's story every day of how she handled an unplanned pregnancy. We're expanding that into a video outreach, which just began airing on NRB TV network, reaching 69 million households. We launched that last week, and I'm very excited about that. We want to be able to keep that going on a weekly basis, and we need some funding to help do that. So you can get all the details and give securely online at cradlemyheart.org if you have a mind to do that, too, because we're very excited about that initiative, which is new for us. And the opportunities that God is opening for us to really save lives with the message of choosing life and to heal hearts with the message of redemption and restoration after abortion. So here are some Bible verses about heaven. And these are from John MacArthur's Safe in the Arms of God. And this is from the chapter titled, What is My Child's Life Like in Heaven? You know, because this is, and he answers very specific questions about this, too, as to, you know, what age we are in heaven and what will our bodies be like. And, he answers a lot of the very common questions about it. But he says, what in answering the question, what is the perfected soul like? Because he said this is what the word that describes heaven is perfection. It's perfect in heaven. And so, but what is the perfected soul like? He says, well, the most obvious truth is it'll be finally perfectly free from evil forever. So your child will never have a selfish desire. Your child in heaven will never utter a useless word, will never perform an unkind deed, never think a sinful thought. Your child completely liberated from any temptation to sin and is able to do all that is absolutely righteous and holy. I know. When I have spoken with parents of children who have died in infancy or very soon after birth because of a disability or, a fatal diagnosis, the parents have taken very real comfort in the idea that the child never had to experience a fallen world, that in their life, all they have known is the perfection of heaven. And that's what MacArthur is getting at here. And he says, your child will experience no suffering, no sorrow, no pain. Your child will never do anything displeasing to God. And he says, because your child dwells in heaven, there's no taint of sin whatsoever. So that means children in heaven live totally free of persecution, free of division, free of disunity, free of hate, free of quarrels or disagreements, and free of disappointments. No weeping, because there will be nothing to make your child sad. And I think this is fascinating. It says your child will have no need to pray, fast, repent, or confess sin, because there'll be nothing to confess and nothing to pray for. Your child will know a life of unimaginable blessing and only blessing for all eternity. Those are John MacArthur's words from Safe in the Arms of God, and that's our pro-life resource tonight. And if you'd like a copy, join us. Share your favorite Bible verse about heaven or your favorite teaching about heaven at 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. We put together every week on the website, too. We put together some of the top stories on the pro-life issue in the news and sometimes put a little bit of commentary to it. And one of the big stories this week was the fact that another set of undercover videos were released by the Center for Medical Progress, but they've been erased from YouTube. And now there's some wrangling going on from the judges, from the Center for Medical Progress, I should say, about whether or not the judges in these cases are actually able to be impartial. Would you like to talk about that story? 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. You know, the revelations from this latest set of videos, you can still find them on Facebook. I think Live Action News posted them on their Facebook page. We've got the links where you can see them at cradlemyheart.org on our Five Fast Facts story from this week. The revelations are so horrific as to the hard-heartedness of the abortion providers and people working in the abortion industry. And, I mean, it's not surprising, but it's so sad how hard hearts can become. Of course we grieve for the children who are lost. Of course we grieve for the women who are exploited. But I grieve for these individuals who are so hardened to the truth of the humanity of the children because of the way that they speak about their young bodies in regards to what happens to them in the abortion procedures. So do you think it's important that these videos be seen? Do you think that it's proper that a judge would say you can't put this online because you obtained it undercover? 1-800-811-3003 is our number, 1-800-811-3003. And here's a little more from Safe in the Arms of God, because, when you start thinking about the true brutality of abortion, one of the most comforting antidotes to that toxic reality is the heavenly reality of bliss for these children who have been taken in abortion. MacArthur says, the children in heaven experience perfect pleasure. Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. MacArthur says, everything that now gives us pure pleasure and genuine joy is multiplied beyond measure in heaven. And since nothing is better or greater than God, the pure enjoyment of being with the Father will be the very essence of bliss that your child enjoys. Terry Reiser has a book called A Sacred Sorrow. And she writes about this, about people often wonder if our children will be angry with us, if we'll need to have our children forgive us for what we have done to harm them and take their lives in abortion. And she says they've only known Jesus their entire lives. So they've only known love. There will be no need for them to forgive us. And to me, this is a really beautiful idea. Perfect knowledge is something our children will attain in heaven. It says, in heaven, your child lives in perfect knowledge, as complete a knowledge as your child could ever desire. Never experiencing an unanswered question or an unsolved problem. Totally free of confusion and ignorance. Wow. Wow. Think about that. Perfect comfort for the child in heaven. Your child will never experience even one uncomfortable moment. Heaven is a place of eternal comfort. Jesus, in telling the story of a beggar named Lazarus and a rich man, noted that in heaven, Lazarus was comforted while the rich man was in torments in Hades, it says in Luke 16:19-25. What is your favorite verse about heaven or promise of heaven that you cling to? 1-800-811-3003 is our number, 1-800-811-3003. And tonight's pro-life resource is Safe in the Arms of God, Truth from Heaven About the Death of a Child, written by Pastor John MacArthur. He's had a very personal reason for writing this book, and he tells the story of being very new in the pastorate when someone came running into his office, a neighbor, to say that he was needed immediately, and there had been a crib death, a SIDS death. And she said, where is my baby? As she looked at the young pastor over the crib and with the lifeless child lying there. And he said, safe in the arms of God. And he said it instinctively, not because of anything he'd learned at seminary, but he set out to learn what the scriptures do provide to answer that question. And the result is this beautiful volume, by John MacArthur. So if you'd like a copy, join us, 1-800-811-3003. Time for a quick break to give you a chance to get to the phone and call us here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
800-811-3003 is our number. We have a copy of Safe in the Arms of God for our callers tonight from Pastor John MacArthur. And let's go to the phone and welcome Glady. Is that how we pronounce your name, Glady?
Yeah, it's Glady.
Mm-hmm. Hi. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I was excited. I left my sister's house, got in my car, and there you were, just coming on the program. So I'm always delighted when I can hear your program.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Did you want to share a verse with us about heaven?
I do. Honestly, I don't remember the particular address, but one thing that I know address that I think of often is if people should cry or that kind of thing. In the scripture, it says that God collects our tears, and I don't remember what else it says about that, but to me, that means that Christ, God, Holy Spirit are close to us when we're in pain. And, but I just wonder what he's going to do with the tears that he's collecting. I just, it's so sweet. But I cannot remember the address of that.
I think that it's in Psalm 56. So, I did a quick look up while we were talking, and it's Psalm 56:8 says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book."
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That to me, like I'll be around people sometimes, and they'll start crying, and they'll say, "I'm sorry," and I go, "Oh no, tears are important. You have every right." So, you know, and then I share that. That's what I've done lately is I just say, hey, God collects those tears, and he's going to, you know, talk to you about the healing of all that you went through or whatever it is, you know. So that's what, I mean, there's plenty about heaven we think of, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, you know, is great assurance. So, but I can think of anything else other than this one about tears.
That's beautiful. I'm really glad you brought it to mind because the idea that he's collecting the tears is one, you know, that, okay, that really sticks because it's so visual, but that he's keeping track of our sorrows and recording our tears in his book is, it's a really great reassurance. Thank you, Glady. Hold on and stay on the line. So that off the air,
okay,
we can get your address,
you.
And we'll send you a copy of Safe in the Arms of God. If you have a verse about comfort or about heaven, join us, 1-800-811-3003, and we'll get you a copy of Safe in the Arms of God, Truth from Heaven, about the death of a child. You know, I think that there is some wishful thinking that happens, and so we often may not know what to say when someone discloses an abortion to us, especially if we haven't experienced that. It can be very difficult to know that those children are in heaven. Pastor MacArthur includes the circumstance of abortion in his book about children in heaven because, of course, the children whose lives have been taken by abortion are innocent. And, you know, when Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me," he was talking about, you know, children way too young to be able to express faith, if you will. There's no reason that Jesus would choose to keep them out of heaven. And this is the conclusion that MacArthur comes to at the end of his exegesis, and it's a very thorough exegesis, but he's very clear that God will not punish the children by keeping them out of heaven. He goes to the passages in Deuteronomy that say the children of the Israelites were allowed to go into the promised land even though their parents were not, because of the sin that they committed in their wanderings in the wilderness. Again, it's very thorough. It answers all of the troubling questions about the death of a child. And, you know, the thing that he says is we can't point to a particular Bible verse that says, yes, this proves that these children are in heaven. But he said, knowing God's character, we can say that there is nothing in the scripture that says that God would deliberately be keeping them out. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And if you'd like to share a verse about heaven and about comfort and sorrow, join us. 1-800-811-3003. And tonight's resource is Safe in the Arms of God by Pastor John MacArthur. That was probably our last call in order to be able to actually get your phone call on the air. So if you really want this book, get to the phone. One of the things that MacArthur writes about is that in heaven, our children will experience perfect joy. He says, life on this earth is always mixed with a measure of sorrow, discouragement, disappointment, worry, struggle, and pain, but not so in heaven. Heaven is a place of undiluted joy. In the parable of the talents, the recurring refrain, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord, is a message to all who enter into the presence of the Lord in heaven. They're rewarded with the fullness of joy. And of course, that parable is Matthew 25, found in Matthew 25. He says, best of all, these attributes of perfect pleasure, perfect knowledge, perfect comfort, perfect love, perfect joy are unending and never diminishing for your child. Heavenly perfection is never altered or diluted. 1-800-811-3003. Diane is listening in Lakeville, Minnesota. Hi, Diane. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hi, Kim. Thank you very much. And I've been enjoying listening to your program, as I do every week. And the verse that I wanted to share is one that I actually read at my father's funeral, and it was from Revelations 21, a very common one, you know, the John who is in Revelation speaking. And he said in chapter 21, verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall call them among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Hallelujah. And it brings me joy to know that all those babies who, you know, didn't get a chance to live on this earth, that they will be in heaven.
Amen. And thank you for reading the full scripture, because it is. It's very, it just, it does its work when we hear it. So you ministered to us reading the entire verse there. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. And I also wanted to comment, you had asked for people's opinions about whether those videos should be allowed. And my opinion is I believe they should be. I'm not interested in seeing them because I would be appalled, but I think it should be out there because I really believe that people don't have a concept of what really, some people don't have a concept of what actually happens in abortion, and then this is a real baby that is being destroyed and the way they're mishandled. So I would like that to be brought to legal, being a legal thing that they could do.
And yet you won't watch it. Is it because you already know?
I already know. I mean, I have never been through one, but I already know. I'm a nurse.
Sure.
So I guess I already know. I would not want to watch it. Just be hard to see, but I do think it's something that should be able to be viewed by people.
Just for education.
For education, yep. I think it might help some people to not make that decision, maybe, hopefully.
Okay. Well, Diane, thank you so much. And thank you for sharing your hope and joy at your father's passing and sharing the verse that still continues to minister to us. Stay on the line. We'll get you a copy of Safe in the Arms of God. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate all your phone calls, and you can always get in touch with us during the week. Send me an email, kim@cradlemyheart.org, or just go to the website and leave a comment there. You can find us on social media. We're linked from the website, too, on Facebook and Twitter. We'd love to hear from you because you are the reason that we are here. Together, we are saving lives and healing hearts after abortion. And, you know, we do this one story at a time. And coming up, we've got some great stories of people who have been healed after making that choice, but also people who have chosen life and people who have chosen life when parenting was not feasible, but they released for adoption. As certainly as more and more people are choosing open adoption, the stories of hope are just abounding. And it's been our joy to be able to collect them and our privilege to be able to share them with you at cradlemyheart.org. So visit us this week online. And if you are touched and led by the Lord, we would appreciate your financial support as well, especially at this time. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back next week praying for you in the meantime. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.